think he sent him an email. Paul did. So.
I will open the joint interim task force on state budget process for September 17th, 2013. All parties that are appointed to the task force are present except for Mr. Warner, who is kind of now tied to Mahonia Hall for various reasons. And Representative Buckley let me know well in advance that he had a commitment outside of Salem. Well in advance of this committee. This is the first meeting. It will actually, could be a longer meeting than what I expect, but it's mainly an organizational meeting. When this bill was put together, I believe it was put together with the sort of standard expectation that immediately after the session, members would be appointed, it would get underway, and realistically, we probably didn't believe it could complete its work, actually, by the end of this year, so that it would have a product. But even more realistically now, it looks like that's not going to happen. So our anticipation is that we will be extending the task force into the coming calendar year. How long? I don't know. But I think particularly our purpose today is to adopt rules, to give you a handout of what we at least preliminarily believe are the statutes that are involved in this. And, of course, that's subject to discussion. And secondarily, to just go through introductions, maybe a little bit of statements about expectations. And I think also when we get to expectations, I think Representative Buckley and I have discussed some expectations, and I'll probably go through those. We do have actually one actual action item. Unlike in your other committees, you do actually have a physical copy of the rules of the committee before you, not on OLIS. I don't know how that happened. So if I, the rules are pretty standard rules, if I can get a motion to adopt the rules.
So moved.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just have seen these for the first time. So I was wondering if you could review them with us.
Oh, well, Mr. Rocco. No,
I'm just kidding.
I would ask. I would ask the committee administrator to reveal them if you'd actually like.
I'm just joking. I'm just warning you of things that may be coming forward.
Okay. Okay.
So under discussion.
Yes, under discussion of the motion before. Okay. Any objection to the motion that's before the committee?
Oh, we got to discuss it.
Oh yes, I said. But do you? Any discussion?
Mr. Rocco?
These look like very fine rules to me.
You know, it's a little dangerous. I realized this when I put Ken on this committee. It's a little dangerous. Any objection to the rules?
No.
Seeing none? Motion carries. Now we'll go through just an introduction of task force members and I think I'm Senator Richard Devlin, I'm subcommittee chair. Representative Buckley's not here. Paul Warner's tied to Mahonia Hall.
I'm Senator Doug Whitsett, represent District 28, five counties in South Central Oregon, retired veterinarian and longtime member of the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. State Representative Bob Jensen from House District 58, which is everything from just west of Pendleton all the way to the Snake River, and including the Union, Wallowa counties, and that portion of Umatilla County, and I think I said just west of Stratton, that's in the air, it's to east. It is just west, the boundary is just west of Pendleton. Everything east of that is Snake River.
I'm Mike Jordan. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the state and the Director at the Department of Administrative Services.
George Naughton. I'm the Chief Financial Officer and the State Budget Director.
And I'm Ken Rocco with the Legislative Fiscal Office.
I'm Erin Tyler, Community Services.
Okay. We'll go into a discussion of the work plan for the committee. You will see a work plan when we come back, and that'll be part of the discussion today. But one of the documents you have is a preliminary list of all the statutes that might be involved in this discussion. There is also a preliminarily, basically, removal of some of those statutes from the discussion because they're outside the task force. Obviously, that's an issue that's up to debate when we actually go through them in some detail. This is not an exciting committee. In fact, I'm really surprised that we actually have three people in the audience. When this became before the full committee, there were somehow a few concerns expressed that somehow this small committee would be determining the budget priorities for the state. One, we're not doing that. Two, whatever we did would be a recommendation anyway, but we're not doing that. This is fundamentally a statutory review committee. It's looking at the statutes that govern the budgeting process. It's looking at the process itself. It's not a debate about how much should be spent in this area versus another. It's not a debate about whether we should now have a third reserve fund in addition to our existing, now depleted reserve fund. It's not a discussion of whether we should have a different state spending limit. It's actually a discussion of the process. So these are preliminary lists, and what I've asked for on this list is that people will get a chance to review this and give us some feedback on whether or not what we have included is appropriate or not, both what it should be included or not included. Plus, I've asked staff to make somehow a document available so that you could actually read this without having to pull up individual statutes, not in paper form, but so that you'd actually see it in total. So you'd actually have a document that you could read, a PDF file, so that you would know what all these statutes were without either opening up ORS,
getting
various chapters, or pressing on links and trying to find each one of them. So we will put that document together.
Mr. Chair, can we do that for PERS too?
Then you'd have to add a couple dozen court cases and a couple of other decisions. There's a preliminarily work timeline here, which is probably shorter than what will be necessary. But one of our objectives in our next committee meeting is to get a better view of these statutes, to get a better view of a potential work plan, so we make a preliminary report to the legislature. And then Representative Buckley and I will either insert something into a bill in this coming session extending the task force, or we will merely ask the presiding officers to extend the task force without a legislation. Other than that, one of the aspects of this is that this is very staff dependent. I'll be just blunt about it. Not only Erin, but we were hoping by the people being put on the committee, both Mr. Rocco, Mr. Naughton, Ms. Jordan, and Mr. Warner, that we could have a fair amount of staff resources devoted to this. Obviously, one of the things that we did not foresee, which should have been easily foreseeable, was legislative days are the peak for staff time. And particularly since you have legislative days that could be followed within a week or 10 days of a special session. So that's why we're going to ask you, and you would receive per diem, you could do it by phone, to come back in October so we can be ready to at least give a preliminary report to the legislature in November. So I'll leave it at that. If people want to, I'll go around the room. If they want to express any of their expectations, Mr. Rocco has indicated he will be kind to me. I won't go into this. This idea came from Ken, but it came a couple of years ago. So I'll start with Mr. Rocco.
Well, Mr. Chair, George and I have talked about this a number of times, that it's been, we both have years of experience of going through the budget process, and have tried to comply as much as we can with all of these statutes that are here. But it's been my experience since working in the legislative fiscal office since 1990 that the legislature is prone to add things to statute but not take things away from statute. And so what's happened over time is that each of these chapters was started out at one point and then it had incremental changes to it that were just tacked on. And we found over time that maybe there are places where it could be looked at in its entirety, and maybe some of that extra process materials that we thought were important at one time, 20 years ago, maybe are no longer important. And so that we talked about doing this in the interim several times, but the nature of interims is they get filled up really quickly with other priorities. And so we never had an opportunity to actually do this, to look at it. So with the bill that gives some specific direction to staff and to the legislature that these need to be looked at. So I think it's a good idea, and we'll certainly help as much as we can to do this.
Not to put you on the spot, Mr. Naughton, but do you have any comments?
So I think I agree with Ken. We've talked about this over the years. These statutes have been in place for well before either of our time. In fact, when I came out in 95, this statutory structure was still in place, and I think it's predated that by quite a ways. So there's a lot of redundant information there. Some of the stuff that's process-driven goes back to what we did for printing 30 years ago in the state. So there's a lot of stuff to clean up. I guess the one thing I'd be cautious of is that there is a balance, I guess, in this situation between the governor and what he proposes and what you all do when you dispose of the budget and you make final decisions. So one of the things I would like to clarify with this group is how deep are we actually talking about? Because there's been some structure that we've set up as to whether or not we're doing, as Ken's suggesting, cleaning up redundant pieces or fundamentally changing the way we set the budget up. And that's a broader conversation. So I don't know exactly where the co-chairs are actually looking at as far as that conversation goes. We've looked at outcome budgeting. We've done a performance budgeting. We've done current service level budgeting. We've done a number of different theories. At this point, they're all in the budget statutes. You can find pieces of them all over the place, which leads to some difficult maneuvering that Mr. Rocco and I have to do.
I just go around the room, I guess.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm relatively new to this process, my goal, and I guess it goes to George's question about maybe altitude for this conversation, am right along with what you've already heard regarding just we tend to accrete stuff in the statutes in numbers of subject areas, including the budget, and every once in a while it would be really good for us to go back and say, so how do we really want it to work, and try to have the statutes reflect that. To this relationship on how we propose and dispose of the budget, for me, it would just be great if it was kind of consistent and we were all kind of playing by the same general structure, and I think it would be clearer for citizens if we did that. Is that relevant to this dialogue in this committee? I'm not sure, and I think that is something we want to talk about.
Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Primary reason I asked to be on this committee is the lines bullet point 3 and 4, identify new provisions that would aid in the development of the state budget and recommend a comprehensive package of statutory changes that will modernize the process of developing the state budget. I think a lot of the things that we do are lack transparency and certainly lack long-term planning. One of the things that there are several things I'd like to see, but from the standpoint of long-term effects, I think our budgeting should really include the full biennial cost of the current biennium, as well as at least 3 biennia out in the future. I think we really need to do full cost and real-time accounting for employee costs, including the costs of paid leave and step increases and so forth. I think we also need to do a much better job of requiring the full cost accounting for current and acquired debt. We're not doing a very good job with that. As a matter of fact, I think we're often hiding the real cost in order to minimize the current biennial cost of those things. I think we should require 10-year cost review projections on all trends. And I just brought something along here as a visual. I've been talking to Matt Garrett, the director of ODOT, and over the last number of years, this shows the other fund debt service. In 2005, for the most part, ODOT was still a pay-as-you-go process. We are now at the tune of over $400 million of debt service, principal and interest, for each biennium, and that will last out for at least 20 years. What isn't shown on this is also the cost of lottery revenue bonds and the other transit stuff, which all comes out to about 580. So actually we went from zero to way up here on the page somewhere. Now, we can argue that was good policy, or we can argue it was bad policy, but the fact of the matter is we didn't argue that long-term policy at all. It just happened. And now we are stuck with about $6 billion in principal and interest payments to pay for projects that have already been constructed. I don't believe that we really made an informed decision on that. So anyway, that's kind of what I had in mind. And one other thing is I really think that our budgeting process is disconnected. We have a policy side and we have a ways and means side, and there the twain doesn't meet. And I really think that policy deciders could make a much better choices if they had some idea of what the cost would be. Instead, we ended up getting it sent to Ways and Means, and we changed their policy in order to make it fit the budget, and that's not the way to establish a budget for my commission. Other than that, that's what I've got.
From what's been said so far, I'm wondering why I applied or put this down as one of the possibilities. It sounds like such a interesting topic. In fact, I was so anxious to get into it that I read at least part of the statutes this morning while I was anxiously waiting to get down here. And
we'll make you more anxious in the future. that's.
But I'm. I see a need, and have seen a need to clean up the process, and I guess that was what I was looking at. I think it's terribly difficult for young people, not necessarily young and chronological, but young legislators coming into the building to in any way get their arms around the budgeting process. As a consequence, many of them their eyes kind of glaze over, and they really are not active participants in that, and they're making budgets, they're voting on budgets without the types of understanding that perhaps they should have or that they need. I'm hopeful for being able to, ask some questions and open our eyes a little bit for more clarity in the budgeting and less of a mystique, if you wish, about this whole process that I think appears, as far as the preponderance of legislators here, only the few who serve on Ways and Means, and for that matter, who serve on Ways and Means for some period of time. really start to get some idea, and I don't think that's a good way for a multi-billion dollar business to have people voting on their budgets without that clarity. And so hoping that we can do some of that, the technicalities of some of these things. We depend heavily on our staff, to provide us information on that, and I think that's the way that's all right, that's the way it should be, but it still should be plain, clear, visible, understandable by everybody who will take the time to at least look at it. So.
Representative Buckley, at this time, we've actually adopted the rules, we've introduced everybody, we've gone over a general sort of what the committee is doing, an admission that the timeline was terribly unrealistic, that this is probably going to take some time, at least until the middle of next year, that this is a process-driven, a statutory review committee, in effect. We're not determining the future priorities in terms of funding for the state or even recommending the future funding priorities for the state. It's basically how do we improve the process. So you're quick getting back from wherever you were.
There's, I don't know, Portland, there's cars in Portland. Everywhere you look, there's cars. They get in your way.
And yeah.
I'm just not used to that.
Okay. There aren't many forest fires in Portland.
That's true. That is true. That's true. It's all a trade-off.
So if you have any comments, and you're actually our closing comments.
Oh. Well, thank you, Ms. Cochier. No, my apologies for being there. I did not budget enough time to get back from Portland. I appreciate everyone's participation in this process. Every process can be improved, and the budget process is definitely no different. In regard to going through doing the bookkeeping that we're doing in regard to going through the statutes and making sure they're still relevant, it's just an essential task that has to happen. So I appreciate everybody's time and effort that you put forth to this work.
Thanks. Finally, I want to very much say appreciate Aaron being assigned to the committee. We have a long history together. I'm not going to put her or me or you through our long history of what we had to do, but we had one biennium where, with a great deal of fanfare, new ethics laws were passed for government officials, and then we had the wonderful task of coming back the following biennium and fixing those. And I think the committee went through 87 different sets of amendments. And so we're not going to put you through that. So, but this will be more of a low key. We are a surprise. We weren't even expecting an audience. But look at this. So, anything else for the good of the order? Mr. Rockham?
I was just curious. This tentative work plan says October meeting, informational meeting. So what is your hope between now and that meeting time?
One is that we get a better document on the statutes, that we get a little bit of review of whether this list is right or wrong. Two is that we kind of develop the framework for what a realistic time frame should be, which may be different from this. Three is probably we at least have some opportunity to discuss at least some of the areas initially that we think might be of issue, not all of them. And I think that's really the expectation for October, so that Erin will have the at least enough so that she can provide a preliminary report to the legislature and the presiding officers.
So would you like Representative Buckley to provide that information for us at the next meeting?
Well, I think Aaron's going to actually work with the members of the staff and the legislative branch and the executive branch. And
that's what I was afraid of. That's why I offered up Representative Buckley before I got to that point.
Well, the decision was made to go for competence rather than...
And actually, so you can see that this is an evenly divided committee. What I mean by that is that there are four senior staff people from both the executive branch, and there are four members. It's an evenly divided committee.
So I see this as a vote challenge.
Or a deadlock committee.
So you would not be opposed to the idea of, for example, George and I working on this together and coming back with some suggestions?
Oh, I think it would be wonderful.
Okay.
Anything else?
And let me just add that I had calendared out an October-November meeting. As we discussed today, I'm wondering if it would be appropriate to have an early November meeting, because our report is technically due before the legislative days, so we can't necessarily wait until the legislative days to have another meeting. And given the crunch of time now and this week and potentially towards the end of the month, have a whole month of October to have to work on, to narrow down, to find some preliminary expectations and potential flags in terms of statutes that need to be heavily looked at, some that we can take out of the mix, and then plan for an early November meeting, if that is a
yes.
Kind of an initial plan going forward in terms of a timeline for work, and then just preparing your own schedules in terms of finding a day during the week in which you can travel back here or be here by phone in some capacity.
And I would guess in that an early November meeting, if it's limited to simply reviewing a preliminary document to the legislature, that might be a relatively short meeting where members, with the exception of me, for legislative members, travel considerable distances, might be able to participate by phone, and it might literally be just simply, are there changes that are needed in this document? We get you the document out well in advance. Mm-hmm. So, anything else? Nothing else?
Mm-hmm.
We are adjourned.